Hello and welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Oscar Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, TNT Pin Company, Outright.ai, and LeechSpot, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp, Be Your Strongest Combination. It's a fantastic year, 2026. We are just throttle wide open, the missiles in flight, we're tracking down the target, and my next guest embodies all of that, and it's a cool story how we met, it's a cool what she does, and I can't wait for you all to meet her. I'm not gonna do it. Julie Austin, you know, senior officer, business owner, podcaster, you know, baseball coach, exceptional mom extraordinaire. Welcome to Oscar Mike Radio.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you for having me. And I appreciate you not calling me ma'am and
It's
calling
hard.
me Julie,
It's hard.
because
Whew.
I am retired and do not see myself as an Army officer anymore. So I just want to
Okay,
be
okay.
one of the people. One of the people.
It's hard. You got to understand it. It's hard, but I'll do it. I'll do it just for you. Just
Thank
for
you.
you. All right. We had a cool, like, origin story. You know, and we became like part of this Triforce, not a dynamic duo, because, you know, we had, you know, the other veteran there helping us out. I forget her name.
Ashley.
Thank you. Yeah, Ashley. Jesus. I'm so excited. Sorry. Sorry, Ashley. I you're imprinted on my mind forever. But it was a Triforce. It wasn't a dynamic duo. It was a Triforce. And there we were, Military Career Con in Arlington, Texas, doing it. And ladies and gentlemen, I had never met Julie in my life. I had no idea what was underneath the hood here, but just very quietly and smoothly kind of came in, and things started getting organized and things started happening. And I'm like, you know, this is pretty cool. You know, I need to get to know her. And then she started talking to me, and for whatever reason, I have no idea why, she decided I was pretty okay. Here we are. And so now we're talking about her military history. We're going to talk about her podcast. We're going to talk about her business. These kind of things were cool because, again, we didn't know each other. We met at this conference, and conferences are hit or miss for me, honestly. But, you know, it was funny because we weren't actually doing a panel together. We weren't doing a speech together. We were working the registration gift table, and that's how we kind of like gelled. And
Yep.
so it was very cool in that respect that it was a different way to meet somebody at a conference. So here you are. You're on the show now. I'm so excited.
Yes. And I would just want to add one thing that I don't know if either of us knew that we were going to be working at the registration gift table. I think Mara just kind of looked like she was overwhelmed and needed help. And we were both, the two of us and Ashley, were like, okay, we're going to help you because you look like you need it. So shout out to Mara for needing help, because if without that, we would not be here today or been able to sit and talk a lot during that great conference and that weekend. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you served in the Army. Tell me about, you know, you're in the Army now. You're not behind a plow. You'll never get rich digging a ditch. You're in the Army now. How did that start?
Okay, so I'll go back a little ways. So I am a military child. Both of my parents served in the military. I don't usually talk about this a lot, but I'll talk about it with you, Travis. So my dad was drafted for Vietnam. He served in Vietnam, and he served first enlisted, and then they said that he was smart and they sent him to engineer OCS, which is a pretty cool story. So he did engineer OCS at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, which is also my last duty station in the Army. So he went to engineer OCS, became an engineer officer. He is in the Engineer Hall of Fame, and he retired after 33 years from the North Carolina National Guard as a colonel. And then my parents met in the North Carolina National Guard, and my mom is the first female general officer for the North Carolina National Guard, Major General retired Elizabeth Austin. And she made history as the first female general in North Carolina National Guard and retired as a two-star. So my parents both military, so I am a military child. I tell people, yes, I served in the Army for 20 years myself on active duty, but really I've served for 42 years because my whole life has been the Army. I never wanted to go in the Army. When I was graduating high school, all I ever wanted to do was play sports, play soccer. I was recruited for a bunch of different teams to go play soccer. I ended up going to the Citadel. Because I knew it was the only place that I would probably actually graduate college in 4 years because I needed structure and I needed discipline. So I went to the Citadel on a soccer scholarship, joined, contracted as a cadet my junior year because I wanted to figure out how really what I wanted to do is I was a sports management major and I wanted to be a sports agent. That's why I went to college. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for law school. And so Army ROTC got me. They're like, hey, come if you do 3 years, the Army will pay for you to go to law school. So I did, went in the Army as a military police officer. First duty station was Fort Campbell, which was also my dad's first duty station. So a pretty cool story there. And then ended up loving it and stayed for 20 years and finished my time in the Army as a battalion commander, director of emergency services at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. Here just recently, just finished my time. So that's my Army origin story and why I joined the Army and all that in between, I guess.
Wow. Let me say it backwards. Wow. But more than that, I mean, it must have been something going in the Army and then realizing, oh yeah, I mean, my parents set the bar pretty high. And but you also had the benefit, a lot of women go into the military and don't have that close mentorship example to follow. I'm just curious, how did you and your mother interact during your time in the Army? Was she a guiding light, or was she like, you know what, you gotta figure it out, kid?
So we really didn't talk a lot about Army.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that I'm not going to use my parents or any of those things. I'm going to do it myself. Most people would tell you if they described me to others is I'm stubborn and hard-headed, and I'm just going to figure it out and do it. And that's what I did. Sometimes I would call my parents, like if there were, things going on, just to ask advice or things like that. But a lot of time when I was in the Army, my mom was still serving. My mom retired in 2018. So while I was serving, she was still in. And for a while there, she was deployed. So she was over in Kuwait and Iraq in the CENTCOM AOR as the RSENT G4 over there. So during that time, I was actually in company command at Fort Bragg and from North Carolina. And so I would go home and hang out with my dad because he was at home by himself. But really, like, we didn't have a lot of opportunities to talk necessarily about military things. But the one thing I will say about it is I was a battalion S3 or XO, I can't remember which one, but we did an exercise down in Anniston, Alabama. And so when my mom came in the military, it was during the Women's Army Corps. Like that's when she came in the military.
Wow.
And things I didn't know was that where the women went when they first came in, when you're part of the WAC was in Anniston, Alabama. God, what's that base called now? I can't remember. Fort McClellan. That's it. Fort McClellan, Alabama. And so we were down there at Fort McClellan for an exercise and there's the WAC chapel and the barracks and all that stuff. So I sent a picture in it to my mom and I was like, because she had told me like she was at Fort McClellan and I sent that to her and she was like, oh my gosh, that's bringing back so many memories. That's where I did boot camp because my mom went through basic training and AIT and all that. And that's where she went was for the Women's Army Corps was at Fort McClellan. So I'd send her like a picture. We had to go to like the chapel and I sent her a picture and she was like, I used to go in there to hide sometimes just to like figure myself out. And so it was really cool, like a full circle moment because at that moment she was already retired. And it was just it was something that like I never thought until I was sitting there in that chapel and I'd sent it to her to think back, 40 years ago, my mom was sitting here as a private coming into the Army. Not a lot of women, still part of the Women Army Corps, and then where she went from there, and then where she went and retired, as a two-star general. So pretty cool story, but we just really didn't talk about it. And it's just one of those things, like, they did their career, I'll do my career, and we'll see how it all ends.
We could, spend a whole podcast just on you developing your leadership style, leadership challenges, things that, officers have to do. It's not easy being an officer, is it?
No, it's not. I think a lot of people think it is. There are things that are easier, right? I think both enlisted, there's easier things. Officers, there's easier things. But I think for officers, it's you have to know who you are to be a good leader, and it's hard sometimes to develop that quality and to know who you are as a brand new second lieutenant. And a lot of times it takes other officers, other NCOs to help you figure out who you are and the leader that you're going to be.
And one of the things that knowing some officers, some majors, lieutenant colonels, colonels, is the one aspect is, okay, it might be a sergeant or in my case, a lance corporal like myself doing that activity. But I didn't realize until I started talking to some of you all that, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm turning the wrench, I'm running the cable, I'm engaging the aircraft. But that officer is truly on the hook for everything I do. We might not hear about in the enlisted side, but make no mistake, that officer is taking the brunt of the consequences before it rolls downhill. And it really kind of changed how I thought, why some officers wanted checklists done, why, things had to be explained the way they are, why things took as long. And, I'm curious, just for the sake of this one podcast, what is your leadership style and how do you approach leadership as a person now and as an officer?
So for me, the way I've always approached leadership, and it's something that my dad taught me actually growing up, is that at the end of the day, we're all human beings. We all put our pants on the same way, one leg at a time. And so we're all behind the uniform, behind the rank, behind everything. There's a human being there. So I've always been the person to really try to get to know my people, and by getting to know them, understand how they tick, how they want to be led, and by doing that, it's enabled me to build teams. That is my favorite part about being a leader, about being an officer, is building a team to accomplish the mission. So the only way I know and the way I do it as a leader is by getting to know the human, the person behind the uniform, so that I understand what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses. And then how does that then build into the team that we need to be able to accomplish the mission that's at hand?
Whether we're a private or a general, we all come in the military and we all get out. And I think we joked during the conference, I'm like, officers have it so easy. There's a limo pulls up with a, red carpet and, horns like, I'm out, I'm here. Jobs just come out of thin air. And I could be wrong in your case, but I think, you had a chuckle like you are now. But seriously, what was the transition experience like?
So for me, the transition has been really interesting. I would tell your listeners and followers, or if they're out there and they're thinking about transition, don't transition out of a hard job like I did. So my transition was difficult because I was in battalion command, and I was also the director of emergency services for Fort Belvoir. So there was a lot of things that people needed me for, and there wasn't a lot of time for me to take care of me and my transition process. So things like, we have the transition assistance program now. So yeah, I was able to do it. Was I able to really be present for it? No, not really. Because I was getting phone calls or having to answer emails or whatever it may be. So I would just, for me, transition was difficult in that aspect of it, like the time that is needed to go through that process. But also for me, I'll say this is that I knew pretty early on in my battalion command time that I was going to retire after command. And so, because I knew that, I was already thinking about, okay, what's the next thing that I'm going to do? And thinking about, okay, once I do transition out of this job and transition out of the army, how am I going to set my family up for success? And that's always been the big thing for me is the day that you leave whatever branch of service it is that your family standing next to you. And I wanted to make sure that I had everything set up for them to be able to, stand next to me, one, but two, for us to be successful during that transition. So, and that's where, just thinking about, okay, I know in 2 years I'm going to be transitioning out. So kind of sitting down with your marriage, if you're married, sit down with your spouse, hey, this is what I'm going to do or I'm not going to do, and really outline what that looks like. And I think for me, that was beneficial because I wasn't able to take advantage of a lot of the transition assistance programs that are out there that the military offers because of my tight timeline and when I decided I was going to get out.
One thing that came to mind as we talked in Arlington and now is you have a sports background, you have a management background, you have legal background, you have done disaster preparation, so on and so forth. It wasn't like you had one or two things to pick from. It seemed like you had a variety of things that you could have gone into. Did it almost seem like it was an overwhelming choice to pick one thing, or was it just, you know what, I want to transition out, catch my breath, and figure it out?
I think for me, it's been I want to transition out, catch my breath, and figure it out. And I've also, for me, so my number one priority in transition is my family.
Okay.
So my wife, Katie, she still has 6 years left. We have a 3-year-old son. And so the thing for us is, I want to be present for my family. I want to be able to pick Atlas up from daycare early and take him places. So it is, I want to be able to sit still. I'm not very good at sitting still, so, but I want to be able to sit, catch my breath, and
You made me tired in Arlington, Julie.
do the things that I want to do. And that's where, yeah, there's a lot of things I can do, and I know they're there if I want to do them, but I want to do something that I'm passionate about, and that's what's really driving me now. After transitioning is doing the things that I'm passionate about, which is one, my family, but then two, the veteran and military community.
Well, if we can, let's start with family and motherhood. It almost seems like, you know what, I get a chance here to be there for an Alice is a cool name. Like, I wish I'd thought of that name for one of my kids, but you know, my name is Alice. Oh, anyway, you get a chance to really be there as a mother during these times you can't get back. That's gotta make you feel complete in a way that you can't really describe.
Yeah, it really does. As a kid, I grew up with, two parents who were in the military. They were either deploying or TDY or on some type of training exercise as a dual military family. So I only got time with one of my parents, usually at a time. And so now for me, and the reason Katie and I want to have kids later in life is so that we could be there for our kids and experience it with them and not be, running around on the next deployment or on the next TDY or whatever it may be, but to really be present and be there for our kids. And so that's, we today we had baseball practice his opening day and we're both coaching his team. And it's exciting, it's fun, and we're able to really be present and be there with him as he's growing up. And that's why I retired is to be able to do that and be there for my family.
You can't get that first opening day T-ball game back, can you, if you'd missed it?
Nope, you can't.
And how, if I may ask, how old's your son?
He's three.
Oh, it's almost the best, right? They don't really know what's going on, but they'll all chase the ball at the same time. It's
Yeah.
organized chaos. It's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Two kids collided and bounced off of each other. And like all the parents, we were just laughing. But it's one of those moments where you'll never forget it. Like that first game, And just being able to be there, right? Because there's so many people out there who are serving our country who aren't able to do that. And for me, I just feel very lucky that I am able to do that, and I am able to be there with them, but also had a great career prior to that.
So you're out, you're doing, spousal duties, motherhood duties, you're doing all this, and then I meet her in Arlington, and she doesn't sit still, folks. I mean, Julie, it's almost incapable for you to sit still. I think you can't, but I can. I have no problem. But anyway, we're sitting there talking when you finally, took a minute to catch your breath, and you're telling me about this thing you were doing with dog tags to ownership and why you felt that was so important for her, the veteran experience. And I was surprised at first because I thought, is this got to be some kind of nonprofit thing? This has got to be, every veteran wants to do a nonprofit, which I'm trying to, we'll talk about that later. But what led you to say, you know what, I've got time between all my things going on, my obligations and the things I want to do. What led you to explore this part of your life?
So my friends and my family will tell you, I get a lot of ideas, and believe it or not, it's part of my not being able to sit still, but I have a lot of ideas. Well, we were on vacation, or we were visiting some friends for Veterans Day weekend a few years ago, 2024, and driving. And this idea just popped in my head because I knew I just dropped my retirement papers, and I was like, I'm going to be transitioning soon. I have some businesses already, but I really like want to learn more. And I know that there are others out there that want to learn more about business ownership after transitioning. So I did some research, couldn't find really anything out there already that was a one-stop shop type thing, to help those transitioning, one with transition, but also getting into business ownership. And so the idea popped in my head. I'm a consumer of podcasts, and I was like, let's start a podcast. So I texted one of my best friends that I met as a second lieutenant at Fort Campbell, Matt Kane, and I texted him and said, hey, we're gonna start a podcast, and it's gonna be called Dog Tags Ownership, and we are going to become the one-stop shop for military members, veterans, military connected who want to get into entrepreneurship and business ownership. He texted me back and was like, what are you talking about? Is this another one of your stupid ideas that's never going to actually go? And so everybody, his wife, my wife, like we're all laughing, we're in a group text. And so everybody just thought like, okay, this is one of Julie's ideas. It's not going to go anywhere. I ended up buying podcasting equipment, booking our first guest, and he was like, oh crap, this is real. And I was like, yes, it is real. We are doing this. We did some calls, introductory calls with a few folks. And I'll give a big shout out here to Joe Byerly. I emailed Joe. Joe called me. Him and I talked for like an hour about starting a podcast, and he really like helped me with it. And then I said, all right, Matt, July 7th, it was the first Tuesday, I think it was July 7th of or January 7th of 2025. That's going to be our first episode. And so we dropped our first episode. And last year we did one episode every week. So 52 episodes, and then new episodes drop every Tuesday. And our goal with the podcast is if we can help one person who is transitioning or thinking about entrepreneurship through the stories that others tell, that we tell, turn their dog tags into ownership, then we've done what we set out to do.
Why do you think so many veterans, you're either A, on the cusp of starting a business and never do it, or start a business and never really get it going?
Think a few reasons. I think so for a lot of military members, veterans, it's scary. Right. So when you're transitioning out of the military, one, it's, however long you serve, 3, 5, 10, 20, 30 years, it's scary when you come out because you're indoctrinated in the military lifestyle, the military culture. and to go and do something on your own. Because no matter what rank you are, someone is always your boss and always telling you what to do, where to be, and how to do it. To come out of the military and say, okay, now I'm going to be that boss. I'm going to tell people what to do, how to do it, where to do it based off of a business. And then, oh, by the way, you're responsible for their lives. I think that's where it becomes scary for people, in my opinion. But I believe wholeheartedly that military members, veterans, military connected, we are the best demographic to start businesses
Why is that?
because of the skills that we've learned from the military. When it comes to our leadership skills, the military, the United States of America, has put hundreds of thousand dollars into each of us. That's you, Travis, me, Julie, whoever, into each of us for leadership skills and qualities. And those things don't go away. And no one, there's no other corporation, anything in America that teaches the leadership skills that we've been taught through service. And I think to own a business, you have to be a leader. And those skills translate so well. The other things that translate really well too for us is stewardship. So being able to serve something bigger than ourselves, even when the uniform comes off, it doesn't mean we don't want to serve a purpose bigger than ourselves. And that purpose can change into serving a business that helps your neighborhood, your community, your industry. And then the third thing I think is the resilience. The resilience, because all of us that have served in the military have failed at something, but we've had to get back up and keep pushing forward. And that's what business ownership is. It's, yeah, you're gonna have some failures along the way, but how are you gonna pick yourself back up and continue with the business that you want to have? So those are the three big qualities that I believe really translate well for military members, veterans, and even military connected to get into entrepreneurship is that leadership, stewardship, and resiliency.
What started happening to you, to your spouse, and to Matt when this started going and you all realized, hey, you know what? There is a need that we're filling here. And oh my God, this was actually a good idea. What
Yeah.
started happening to you all?
So that's a really funny question. So I get really excited about things and I talk a lot about it. And so anywhere we would go, I would tell people about the podcast, about what we were doing, what we were building. And I think so much like, well, I know so my spouse would be like, oh my God, just shut up. Like, just shut up. Like, but the cool thing was it started, we had guests come on. I was reaching out to a ton of people to ask them to come on the podcast. And then halfway through our first season, people started reaching out to us that wanted to come on the podcast and that wanted to tell their story and tell their journey and just provide that actionable insight and advice to others who wanted to get into business ownership. And that was the coolest part, was it wasn't just it was becoming a movement, right? Where it wasn't just me emailing these people that I would find on social media or LinkedIn or whatever it may be. It was people were reaching out to us. And then, some of the podcasting, like Interview Valet that's out there, reached out of, hey, we have some people that we think would love, like, would be a great fit for your podcast. We would love to put you guys in our Rolodex of podcasts for folks to go on to. Like, are you guys interested in that? And we're like, yeah, for sure, right? And those are things that I didn't even know about when we got into this. So just learning more and more and learning from other people. So as we've, been going through our interviews and talking with folks, it's learning about, yes, some journeys are similar, but they're also different in many ways, and how people really get into their entrepreneurship journey, whether it's they have a side hustle while they're in the military, and then they take that side hustle and make it into something bigger, or they get out and they do something completely different than what they ever did in the military, but it's something that they're now passionate about and want to succeed at.
Let's play a game.
Okay, let's do it.
You have somebody who's like, you know what, Julie, I'm trying to start a business. And they come to you and they say, you know what, I got an idea to start this card business because I got so upset when I realized, Hallmark cards at $7 a pop, Julie, $7 a pop are made in China. And I don't know anything about business. I don't know anything about cards. I just want to do it. I've done a couple of mocks. I've gotten some people to buy cards. When someone comes to you and says, "Hey, I've got this idea. I want to get it going." What's the first things you start looking for? What's the best practices? How should we structure what we're trying to do?
So I think I'm going to use your example, but I think it depends on the business and how you should structure it. But for
Okay.
you, right, with the cart, we'll use the cart example.
Yeah.
So for you, I would say, hey, that should be a sole proprietary business, right? Set that up, use one of the great services that are out there to help you set up that sole proprietary business. You can go through the VA. They can help you set that up for free. Or there's some great apps out there. I use in business, not trying to plug them, but that's who I use to set up all my LLCs. So I would say do that. If you already know that you've sold some business cards and you've done that, then set up some type of legal entity to help protect you in the future. I'll always say that to begin with. And then from there, look at where your market is. So depending on where you've been selling your cards, assuming in your local area. So are there some type of little like hobby type stores within that local area or local stores that have local knickknack type things within their marketplace? If the answer is yes, go approach that business owner. Say, hey, I'm a veteran. I have these cards. I would like to sell them. I believe that these could really help at the Mother's Day time or at Christmas time. Would you mind putting them in your store for me to sell? You can get, and come up with a good price that they would be able to get back for that so that you're still making a little bit of a profit. And as you build that out, then look at, okay, how do I scale that from there and how do I build from there? If you want to go national or if you want to go statewide, then you're going to have to look at how do you scale to build more cards or to produce more cards in mass. Not Massachusetts, in mass, to be able to get them out into stores or retailers across the state. But there are many places within your state, whether it's at your VFW, American Legions, Veteran Resource Centers, Small Business Administration offices, that you could go to and find out, hey, where are some places where I could sell some of these products across the state to get my name and my product out there? So that's how I would do it. And then a lot of it is about networking. We had the former Secretary of the Army, the Honorable Patrick Murphy, on our podcast this year. And his big takeaway that he said when we asked him, like, what's one piece of advice you would give people? And a lot of people say this, but it's your network is your net worth. So it's all about the networking opportunities to find the places to build and scale your business as you want to do that.
Well, it sounds like determine what kind of business, whether it's an LLC, so proprietorship, S corp, and then get the legal stuff done first. All the boring stuff, get all that stuff done first, and then figure out where your market is, and then serve your market. And then it sounds like too that if we want, if we should look at resources from the VA and other veteran-centric resources to help us along.
Yes, there are tons of resources that are out there that are to help veterans with entrepreneurship. And depending on the type of business that you want to do, there's also different types of loans and grants that you can tap into as a resource to help you build your business and also scale it. There's also other programs that are out there through IVMF. Through Syracuse University to have entrepreneurship programs. There's also the Disabled American Veterans, DAV. They run the Patriot Boot Camp. And so you can go there and learn about, your business and how to help improve your business. And there's some other ones out there as well that have different entrepreneurship programs to help veterans really turn their dog tags into ownership.
So you've been at the podcast for what, almost a year, year and a half?
Year and a half, yep.
Fantastic. I mean, nicely done. In that time, has there been a story that has really stuck with you and given you a sense of like, we are definitely here for the right purpose? Someone came to you, came on your show, and you saw your idea work in real time.
Yeah, so there's been, I'm gonna do two things here. I'm gonna talk about two things. So
Okay.
we also host the last Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's called Dog Tags Connect. It's a online Google Meet where anybody can come on, no slides, no agenda, just candid, honest conversations about business ownership. And during that time, over these past 6 months, we've done one every month. Actually, I take that back. We did not do one in June because of a lot of different things going on, but we've done, January, February, March, April, May, and then we'll start back up in July. So for those of you out there, if you want to join, let me know, send me an email, and I'll add you to the Google Meet. But during that time, we've had folks come on to Dog Tags Connect who had just an idea of a business. And from January to May, they have already set up their LLC, have a business plan, and are already networking and marketing their business for when they retire. So to us, that is a win. That is a mission accomplished. That is what we want to do. That is what Dog Tags to Ownership is all about. And then the one podcast that really sticks out for me, and it might not for other people though, but is a recent episode with Keith Cole. He is the only Vietnam veteran that we had on our podcast so far. But his story, to me, it stuck out the most is because it reminded me so much of my dad and my father-in-law. So Katie's dad is also a Vietnam veteran who served in Vietnam and continued to serve. And him telling his story, I was able to connect him with my father and with my father-in-law and just understand them more because of what he was talking about and what he had done in his life since coming home from Vietnam and some of the trauma that he experienced and how, he got to a place of burnout and how he moved on from that. And that was just one of those stories that it showed you from someone who grew up from humble beginnings, who went to Vietnam, had trauma there, had some family stuff, set up a old school business with he's a tax guy doing taxes for people, hustled his way through that, set up a business, did great, and then wrote a book and now, is promoting his book. But it's just one of those that he's probably in his 80s now, late 70s, early 80s, that I want to be like that, right? Like, I want to be a person who continues to help veterans all the way into my late 70s, early 80s. And it's just one of those stories that really touched me, I guess, that we got to hear.
We meet at Military Creator Con 2026, and 2027 planning is already underway. Do you anticipate yourself coming back to MCC because of the experience there?
Yes, 100%. Military Creator Con was one of those moments. I think I caught myself, I think it was maybe day two, where we got done, wrapped up, and it was before we all headed over to the steakhouse, I think. But I caught myself in my room, just being like, wow, this is where I'm supposed to be. These are the people that I want to be around. These are the people who are doing the work to help our community. And these are the people who I know that if I needed something tomorrow, I could give them a call and they would be there. And that's what I think is the so special about Military Creator Con is that it's one of those conferences that's not too big. It's a great size where you're able to meet everyone there. I think I met almost every single person that came to Military Creator Con at least like said hey and just talked to him for a second. And that was the best part about MCC is that you were able to have real conversations with people and not just these passing type conversations. So yes, I will definitely be at MCC 2027 and I can't wait because I know James and Mara are just making it even bigger and better for next year.
What is next for you then in the podcast or in the business? Now, you said you had multiple businesses already. Is there a new business venture you have coming, or is it still developing the foundation structure around the current podcast?
So we have some big news coming out. We are launching Forces Brands USA. It is the only online marketplace for veteran-owned businesses, products, services, and podcasts.
Ooh.
So that is launching the beginning of July. And we have a huge campaign, marketing campaign strategy that we're going to start at the beginning of July, and it's called the Replace One Challenge. So we are challenging all Americans to replace one item in their home or one service that they use on a regular basis with a veteran-owned product. And my biggest point to that is, with America 250, you wouldn't have America 250 if it wasn't for the military. So instead of saying thank you for your service, when it comes to 4th of July, buy something veteran owned and replace one thing in your house with the Replace One Challenge. But yes, that's our next big thing is Forces Brands USA, and a one-stop shop for veteran-owned businesses and a marketplace. So you can go on there and you can get, your favorite coffee. Or your favorite shirt, or your favorite candle from a veteran-owned business, put it all in one shopping cart, check out, and then it's a drop ship or direct-to-consumer from that company. You can also go on there and find, in your local area, a business, a veteran-owned business that you would like to utilize, there, or you can go to our podcasting hub and find your favorite veteran, military-connected, or military podcast, to listen to.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, I mean, Julie, I can't wait to become a part of this network. And why not? What I mean, you have like Bass Pro, Cabela's, Dick's Sporting Goods for that stuff. And why shouldn't there be a veteran, a Forces Brand USA? It's
Yes.
very, you're not going to forget that anytime soon.
Yes, that's what we hope. And we hope that I hate to say hope because hope never gets you a lot of places, but we hope that we're able to show America what veterans really bring to the table, and the businesses that they bring and how they can really help build back our neighborhoods, our communities, and our industries, because veterans serve far after they take the uniform off.
Absolutely, absolutely. How can people connect with Dog Tags Ownership Podcast, with you? What's the preferred way, Julie?
So Dog Tags to Ownership, we have a website, it's dogtagstoownership.com. You can go there. You can look us up on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Dog Tags to Ownership. And you can reach out to me via email as well, Julie at dogtagstoownership.com. We are always wanting to talk to others, hear your story, and learn more about your journey in turning your dog tags to ownership. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this. Dog tags to ownership has a two-prong meaning. It's dog tags to ownership and yes, starting a business after the military, but it's also about owning your life after service. And for a lot of us out there, it's that takes time. And so we want to hear those stories. We want to know how you are owning your life after service. And if you could be a help or if someone needs help in that transition, we want to be there to help you with that.
Fantastic, fantastic, Julie. Well, last question here. One can't help but notice that you're in your Washington Nationals gear.
Yes.
You're a diehard fan?
I am a diehard Washington sports fan. We have season tickets to the Washington Commanders. I don't want to hear anything from any of you Eagles, Cowboys fans. Boo. I don't know, Barry. If you're listening, Barry from MCC, yeah, Cowboys, whatever. But yes, huge Washington sports fan, huge Nats fan. We'll see. We're over 500 right now, though. We'll see how the season goes. We'll probably tank it after the All-Star break.
Well, next time we meet in person, I will tell you a funny story about my first time at a Redskins game.
Okay.
So, we'll make a deal there. Ladies and gentlemen, again, just an example of a veteran who served, her country for a long period of time at a very high level, and then gets out and has an idea like a lot of us veterans do, and then takes a process and follows it, and then is able to add value back to our community. Julie, I want to thank you so much for talking with me. And how crazy is it that just a simple conversation and, filling out some forms and doing the merch table led to this friendship? I'm just excited to see where this goes next.
Same, Travis, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I love Oscar Mike Radio and what you're doing and how you're telling stories of our veterans as well. So thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. There you have it, folks. I will have all the links to dog tags to ownership in the Oscar Mike Radio show post. If you're a veteran, check it out. And if you're not a veteran, look, come buy our stuff. We work very hard at it. Let's go. Let's do it in the USA, number 250. I'm going to be there, and I cannot wait to see what we do next. We're Mission in Flight.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Co-Sinister-1 production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.